You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Live from New York, it's a show that is celebrating National Croissant Day. It's first things first. Today, the Chiefs headed to Las Vegas. But is Vegas disrespecting the champs?
Meanwhile, put them on the board. My favorite city in America on the board.
Meanwhile, the Rodney Dangerfield of the NFL. No respect.
Okay.
It's an old Rodney Dangerfield
joke. I like
that.
Wow.
Tell him that when he's getting fitted for his tuxedo for the MVP ceremony.
What happens if Purdy outplays Mahomes? Ever think of that?
Ooh-wee.
And finally, often imitated but never duplicated, complex, watch out. It's a frosty edition of Mahomes Bowed. I know it's just, you know, imitation's the sincerest form of flattery.
I didn't see that. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Because I'm out here like a hawk, dude.
Wow.
Looking at our intellectual property.
Really?
We're all over the place.
That's great. Wow.
No mountains in Mahomes. I know that's alliterative.
Yeah.
Alongside Chris Broussard, I'm Kevin Wilds. Nick, are you excited for Mahomes Mountain?
Very special edition. And a little company synergy. I didn't even realize Tom was going to be on Colin's show. And Tom is intimately involved in this week's Mahomes Mountain.
Excellent. Well, stay tuned. That? It's going to be great.
All right.
We start with the new Mahomes engineered two touchdowns in the first two drives against the Ravens, and then, depending on your perspective, Broussard, the offense either stalled out or Mahomes played it safe until he had to make a big play to MBS. Let's hear what Patrick Mahomes has to say. Take a listen.
I've learned to play different. I said it kind of during the week. It's not all about stats. It's about winning at the end of the day. You saw Tom do it for a long time. He would do whatever it took to win. And when the defense is playing like that, my job is not turn it over, get it to the playmaker, score enough points, and get the win.
Yeah, sounds like
it. Oh, don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Say it.
I mean, it's not about stats, right?
No, but
it's about the
whole
wins.
Thing was about
I didn't
stats.
Say, oh.
Because I saw what you wrote down. That's what he was going to say.
Get the ball to the playmaker.
Yeah, he actually puts up big numbers.
See, exactly. Thank you. I mean, he's just trying to be a clown.
Wilds, you're
less than 24 hours back in the kingdom. Don't squander it here.
It sounded.
Let's get to the
game
show.
Game managery.
Which it has been.
We're in the show. Mm-hmm. Reaction to Mahomes changing his style of play to be more Purdy-esque.
So to answer the question that's on the screen rather than the dumb one you asked. I love it. Even if it's less exciting. And I'm going to listen. Brew grinds the all 22 after the Odd Couple. Wilds grinds the all 22 before the show and in the office with Josh.
Yeah.
I am more of an ideas man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I am. I'm an ideas man. But I'm going to do something I rarely do. I'm going to go to the film and show you the moment this change occurred.
Hmm.
And this is actually a fascinating moment in Patrick Mahomes' history because there's a lot going on here. So this play right here, 3rd and 10 overtime AFC title game 2 years ago. A lot of things are happening there. One is this. It's the final pass he ever throws to Tyreek Hill. Another one is, it's much like we saw this year, like when you look at it on replay, you're like, oh, wow, that hit him in the hands and was a perfect play.
Yep.
And it also, you know, I'm not killing Tyreek. It's a couple years ago. He dropped it and knocked it to an opponent. It also is the last interception he's thrown in the playoffs. It also was the end of the only bad playoff game of his own doing of his career.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, Patrick Mahomes changed. That is still, I know this, the loss that haunts him more even than the Super Bowl, and that is the game he hangs around his own neck more than anything. So from that moment forward, he changed. And he said, I am not going to, in the postseason, put the ball in jeopardy. I am not going to take sacks. And we can show you his numbers pre and post that moment. So the first 11 games of his career, he was unbelievable. But the big difference is if you look at the yards per game and then the touchdown interception. The passer rating's the same. Yeah. The first 11 games, he was sacked almost 3 times per game. Since then, he has been sacked 0-3-0-0-0-2 in his 6 games. The 3 was against the Bengals with the high ankle sprain. Mm-hmm. The 0, but then 0 against the Eagles, best pass rush in the league. 0 against the Ravens, best pass. Right. Or 2 against the Ravens, pardon me, best pass rush in the league. But the yards are down 75 and the interceptions are at 0. Mahomes, and he, of course, has not lost in that stretch. Mahomes changed the way he plays in the playoffs. Hmm. He can still put the cape on, Brew, but has not needed to. The yards are way down. The interceptions are at 0. And that was the moment. That was the moment where his mistakes cost them what he thinks was a great chance to win the championship.
That makes sense, and I agree with you on that. But I also think you said that was his last pass ever to Tyreek Hill. Losing Tyreek Hill, I think, is a big part of this, too.
The style, sure.
Yeah, the style change. Like, if they still had Tyreek, I think his numbers would be much closer to those first 11 games than they have been these last 6. I love the change because now, like he said, it's all about winning. All right, Brady, his first 3 Super Bowls, he played well. Obviously, the first one, he didn't even have – he had 1 touchdown the whole playoff run. But the ones after that, even the second and third, he did have some touchdowns. But it wasn't a light show by Tom Brady, okay? But he still gets all the love and all the credit for that. I think Mahomes has realized that I just need to win. And I think now he's a more versatile and complete quarterback who can win anyway. Like you said, he can still win a shootout. Don't get it twisted. If he has to, he can still air it out. MVS, if they had to, I think they'd have a lot more deep throws to MVS. Against Buffalo, you saw him get a few. But he also, in that second half, managed the game. All right, so I like all of that, and I think it's been a good change. That said, Nick, even if they win this Super Bowl, I would love to see the Chiefs go out and get a top-flight receiver. Because you got a Ferrari, and I get the most important thing is winning. And if he wins 2 or 3 more Super Bowls, and it's kind of like this, where it's defense-led and he's managing the game and making plays where he needs to, great. But I would rather, as a fan, who saw this guy putting up historic numbers earlier in his career, I would like to see that. I don't want it to cost the defense, but can you get a guy? I think Rice is developing, but he's not like a huge deep threat. Can you get a guy, a top flight receiver, where your defense is still strong, but now your offense can be closer to what it used to be? I got a Ferrari. I want to get it out on the open road every now and then.
So I guess, here would be my pushback to that. Last year they didn't have that, and he won the league MVP. They were the highest scoring team. Yardage was not an issue. This year, I think we have seen when, certainly in the playoffs, the one playoff game where they had to score a lot of points, they had 8 chunk plays. They did go down the field to MBS. Yep. And the reason I got irritated yesterday with the critiques of them in the second half is I felt like they were yes, of course, you'd always like to score points. But I do not think the number one goal up 10 in that second half was to score points. I think the number one goal for Kansas City was to grind clock and to take care of the football. And as soon as they were in a situation where, it's a 1-score game, they hit a big play. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is available to them. I do think, Brew, yes, in a perfect world, you have a cheap, you know what I mean, deep threat that, you know, that somebody, or Mike Evans is like, you know what, I want another Super Bowl. I'll take a home, or not a hometown, but a Super Bowl discount. But I think Patrick kind of setting aside I'm sure loved the way he played in 2018 even more than you? He did. How fun that is. You know what I mean? So setting that to the side to do what is in the best service of winning for this type of team, I think is perfect.
You don't think any of this is a trust issue? Because it does feel like he'll throw a 50-50 ball, let's call it, to Kelsey. But he's seen balls bounce off,
you know, Kadarius Toney's hands. I think the last one was the Patriots interception. He's like, okay, you're done with passes to you. So do you think this is like a happy coincidence? That, like, also, by the way, my guys had the highest drop rate in the last 4 years.
So I do. I think there's a definitely a trust issue, which is why he's being so conservative.
Yeah.
I think that because it is, when you're playing the Ravens in particular, that is a great defense. Guys are not going to be running wide open. And so it was a, I think I could make this throw. I think I can fit it into this window. But unless it's Kelce or Rashee Rice, who I think has truly earned his trust, I'm not risking it, under those circumstances. Yep, right. And so, yeah, I do think that's a piece of it.
I buy that, especially with a defense that thrives off of turnovers.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm out there grinding.
You got none. I got none.
Bruce still sick about it.
So now, quickly, a quick preamble here, because I don't want anybody to get this twisted around. Okay. We are not comparing Brock to Joe Montana. Okay?
No, that's Bruce.
Everybody is.
No,
I mean, really, though. So many people are.
Uh-huh. Most
people,
notably
people
you,
that
Bruce.
Know. But I have not
Bruce
done
Bruce gave
it.
Us a Joe Montana history lesson and yelled at us about his Notre Dame career last week.
It was true, though.
Go ahead. I know, but
I
we're not comparing.
Facts.
Okay, go ahead.
But Purdy's the first quarterback in almost 40 years to beat every playoff NFC team, either during the actual playoffs or during the regular season. Also, by the way, he joins this list of luminaries who have brought their teams back from the brink, including, this is kind of a double whammy for the show, Chiefs Joe Montana, Stafford Brady, and of course.
That's Rutgers. Ever?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Down seven.
Right. Joins the great Stan Humphries on the list.
But that's the one guy you pick out there. Everybody else.
Great at Chiefs Joe Montana. Stafford's I watched good. Chiefs Joe Montana was a fine. He was fine.
He was pretty still good. Joe Montana. He was pretty good. Right. He was Montana. Still Joe Montana.
We're not comparing Purdy to Joe Montana.
Go ahead.
Don't think. Why are you acting like
go ahead.
Just because he's on the graphic with Tom Brady and Joe Montana.
What's the question?
Is Purdy getting enough credit for this run?
It depends on who you ask.
I asked you.
In this chair, yes.
Okay.
In that chair, no. By the MVP voters, the writers, yes. He's going to be at the award ceremony, right? From his teammates, his coaches, the 49er greats. You want to know who's comparing him to Joe Montana? The guy who may know him as better than anybody as a quarterback, Jerry Rice. All right, he's comparing him. So I think he is. It just depends. And there are a lot of people like Nick that aren't giving him his full due. And what I say is, what else does he have to do? Again, yeah, if he goes out there and beats the Chiefs, great. But if he doesn't, is that going to be a slight on Brock Purdy?
What is his full due? Because I don't know if you're giving it to him.
I think I'm giving his full. He's a very good quarterback.
Okay,
that's what he is. And I think, and here's a comparison you can put on my doorstep.
Okay.
Not Joe Montana, Drew Brees. I think this guy can be Drew, and I know what Drew Brees is.
Good.
This guy can be like a Drew Brees.
Great.
Now, will he be a Hall of Famer? We'll see. But he can be like a Drew Brees. The size is similar. Purdy's actually a little taller than Brees, an inch taller.
Maybe more athletic.
Neither one, maybe a little more athletic. Neither one had the strongest arm. Great accuracy, great timing. Leads
so
his guys. That's
Purdy
part of
can
why they
Drew
can
Brees.
Get. I think he can be Drew Brees.
Okay,
well, right. Best
now,
that's ever.
Part of why they get their
not
yards
Joe Montana,
catch.
But not, still
no.
Not a
well, he's not. Yeah, Joe Montana's better than Drew Brees.
Yes, but
I'm,
one of the
that's
15
a comparison.
Greatest quarterbacks
no,
of all
what
time.
I'm saying, no, but no, not, hold not on. Life. No, look, don't. I'm not going to let you pin me down on anything. Wait. If Zion Williamson comes into the league and we say, he reminds me of Charles Barkley, am I saying he's going to be as good as Barkley? No, I'm saying that's who he plays like. When I look at Brock Purdy, I see a guy like Drew Brees and Drew Brees grew into being elite.
And I'm not.
And I think Brock Purdy can grow into being elite.
So, and I'm not trying. I promise.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying he's a top 15 quarterback ever.
No. But if someone says Zion Williamson's ceiling is Charles Barkley, what they are saying is he could be one of the 25 greatest players ever. Are you saying
his
ceiling is Drew Brees?
No, I'm not saying that's his ceiling. I'm saying he reminds me of Drew Brees.
So he's like a poor
man's
Drew
Brees. And I think
he
could grow. No, I think he could grow into being a Drew Brees.
Okay, well, I think
and
if
I'm
you
not
grow
saying he's
into
be a top
Drew Brees, then you are going to be
I mean, look,
famer.
Do what you want with
no,
him.
No,
but he can, I mean, seriously, I'm comparing him to Drew Brees.
Okay. All right, great.
If you want to put him in the Hall of Fame right now, go ahead.
But when we say, hey, is he like Drew Brees? You say, no, I'm not saying that. That's
no,
why we
I'm
get
saying
a little twisted.
When you look, when we compare guys, guys coming into this draft, you're saying Caleb Williams is Mahomes 2.2. Yes. So can he be the GOAT?
What? Yes.
Really?
Yeah,
he could be better than Mahomes.
That's his ceiling.
Oh, stop it. Yeah, stop it. No way. He is not going to be as good as Patrick Mahomes.
No, I don't think he will either.
But you just compared him. Said he could.
Yes, that would be his ceiling. But we don't have to talk about Caleb Williams here. Okay, so
I'm just saying, I don't like you. But when I compare him to Drew Brees, now you're saying I'm saying he's going to be a top 15 quarterback ever.
No, Wild.
That's what you just said.
Yeah, you did say that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No,
but do you think it'd be insulting to Brock Purdy if you said he's like Kirk Cousins because he's much better? He's more like Drew Brees and Joe Montana.
What has been Cousins' problem? As great as he is in the regular season,
he can't win in the playoffs.
Big games.
Yeah,
Purdy's 4-0 when he finishes.
So he's better than Kirk Cousins.
I'm just saying he has shown poise and moxie.
I'm not trying to pin you down on anything.
You clearly are.
You brought up Drew Brees.
I mean, I'm smooth.
Yeah, you're right. Because here's the thing. America, may I go?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because Brew is trying, in my humble opinion, to have it both ways.
No.
What? Brew?
What, I'm supposed to say he's Drew Brees now? He's going to be a top 15 quarterback?
You're the one.
If I don't say that, I hate him?
Brew, you're the one who brought up Drew Brees.
Yeah, no, I think that's
fair. I was talking about Joe Buttons.
That's
Brew.
Fair.
Yeah, hold on. You are trying to have it both ways.
No, I don't want it.
Can I please go? Can I please go?
Just be the Drew Brees graphic.
Please go.
Go.
Because Brew wants to be on the record that he's the Brock Purdy guy. While
he is.
Somewhere in his brain, some would call it the devil on his shoulder. I would call it the angel on his shoulder saying, don't do it, man.
Yeah.
Guy's got pumpkin potential. Don't
pumpkin.
Do it. So I don't want all of a sudden what happened to me, if I'm Brew.
Yeah.
With Jimmy Garoppolo to happen
no,
again.
No, no.
I don't want it to be hung around my neck.
Jimmy G is just, nothing like Brock
Purdy. I'm just right. But I guess my point is, the Jimmy G you talk about now is nothing like the Jimmy G we
all I did
about.
Was say graphic.
So, okay, yeah.
And so, that's a fact.
So here is my hot take. I don't think it's possible for him to get more credit than he's currently getting. I think that currently he gets more credit than Christian McCaffrey. I think he is talked about by his teammates more than they talk about themselves or Christian McCaffrey. He is invited to the most prestigious award ceremony the NFL has. It's only 5 invitees for that
Christian
award.
McCaffrey.
Who's a running back, that's a lot
who's
of love.
Also, Christian McCaffrey is also the best in the world at his position.
Yeah.
I think we all agree on
right
that.
Right now, this year he was.
Yeah, sir, this year, no doubt. And even Brock's most ardent supporters don't want to actually have to rank him. They don't want to actually have to project it. They just want to say, here's what he could be maybe one day, but I'm not saying I think he will be. So I will put on the black hat and once again be very clear on what I think he is.
Go ahead.
I think Brock Purdy is an above replacement level NFL starter. I think if you lined up all 32 starting quarterbacks and said, we're not telling you what team they're going to play for, he would go somewhere from 14th to 18th in that draft of quarterbacks. That's
fine.
And I think Brew won't give us a number. Won't.
Because everything you said is hypothetical. Quarterbacks, how much have we talked about systems? Quarterbacks fitting in systems. And I don't care if all 30, I don't care if all 31 other teams, if all 31 other teams would say, oh, I don't want Purdy in your little example. Uh-huh. Because you know what? They all said that.
Yeah,
that's why he's Mr. Irrelevant.
Yes.
And look at him now.
Yeah.
Look at him now. He's in the freaking Super Bowl in his second year.
Right, like Jimmy Garoppolo.
And dude is going to get better.
Yeah. Like
Jimmy Garoppolo, you know what he did?
What? But that's not what you used to say, Brew. When we talked about quarterback wins.
No, all I talked about is him winning. Yeah. I don't talk about just Brock Purdy winning.
No.
I talk about him leading the league in passer rating.
Right.
I talk about him leading the league in yards per
attempt. You talked about that.
I talk about him throwing as many touchdowns as any quarterback in the AFC.
Yes.
Yeah, and I talk about he reminds me of Drew Brees.
Okay, but so here's...
And could become like that.
Okay.
He could grow into his elite status.
Okay, and if he stays where he is right now...
Well, he's a second-year quarterback. I mean, he's going to get better.
But no, some guys hit their ceiling early and just try to maintain it. We would argue Herbert has. Like, that's what he did. He's ceiling so far early. Him. Maybe he will.
Now he's got better.
But he at the very least, even if he's not top 15 all time, he's a guy you'd give one of those big second contracts to.
Not yet. No, why should I? Okay. I don't have to pay him for a whole nother year.
No, you don't.
I'm not even thinking about that right now.
Oh, okay.
You know, I live in the moment. That's right. I stay in the present.
Except for when we're saying he could become Drew Brees, which is
you have your little drafts and all that. I know is Brock Purdy is in the Super Bowl.
That's right.
All
right. 100% right.
What are we
doing?
That's all I got to say.
Many Super Bowl previews for the Super First Things First Bowl. You may have seen Brew there.
And I'm not sure my pick.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
Hey, Brew.
I love him.
If Drew Brees were on this Niners team, who do you think you'd have?
The Chiefs? Because he's Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is better than Drew Brees.
He hasn't made his call.
I haven't made my call yet.
He hasn't made his call.
But
he's not
Patrick
like you
Mahomes.
Shaking the pom-poms.
Right. I got to analyze.
49ers are favored by 1.5. She Rice putting the Wild Wild West in the AFC West. We're the outlaws. Everybody wants to beat the Chiefs. We're the ones you want to take down. We got a target on our back every day. Yeah. Maybe on Sundays. Are you surprised the Chiefs are underdogs again, Nick?
No, of course. What do you mean?
Yeah, I am surprised.
No, they're the...
You were really not surprised.
No, I knew they'd be underdogs.
Really?
Yeah, of course. The Chiefs are the bizarro Bills. All the accomplishments, none of the belief. And so the way Vegas is... Like, let's look at what the Chiefs have been, according to Vegas, up to this point in the season. Up to this point in the playoffs, pardon me. Round one, even though they were at home, and evidently... Everyone knew all along that Miami is just not allowed to play competent football in the cold. Everyone knew it. They were only 4-point favorites. Round two against Buffalo, even though everyone knew Buffalo was basically running a junior college defense out there. They had played literally a day and a half before while Kansas City had been off for 2 months.
Yeah.
The Bills were 3.5-point favorites. Round three, even though everyone knew, the Ravens don't have the history, Lamar could tighten up, that they opened at 3-point favorites at Baltimore, and by kickoff, they were 5-point favorites.
That's nuts.
And so now you're playing a Niners team that everyone knows has a quarterback who this season played better than Mahomes.
Drew Brees. Right,
third-team All-Pro.
Brew doesn't do hypotheticals. He does do make-believe All-Pro teams, though. His third-team All-Pro, a defense that people actually believe in as opposed to the awesome one. Of course they're the underdogs.
I was shocked.
Me too.
Became, yes. There's no reason that San Francisco should be the favorite.
It opened at 3. It's moved.
You saw it quickly.
It quickly moved
like
down.
And you know what it is?
The sharp money came in.
Yeah, that is what happened.
Yeah, good job, Wes.
Yeah.
No, there's no reason. What, 2 months ago, everybody thought San Francisco was going to run through the league. Then they thought that about Baltimore. And there's no reason they should be number one. The Chiefs. In beating Miami, Buffalo, and Baltimore, they beat a Pro Bowl quarterback in Tua. They beat the presumable MVP or soon-to-be MVP in Lamar Jackson. And they beat another guy that's in the top five for MVP voting.
Yep.
All right. They beat the team that destroyed San Francisco. Okay. And so, like, there's no reason. And San Francisco has not looked great in these playoffs. Two come-from-behind victories.
I don't think they've looked great since they worked Philly. If you look at their
whole... No, that's fair.
Because after that, they played a close one against Arizona, or maybe the Arizona one was only close going into the halftime. A close one against Seattle. They got worked by Baltimore. Mm-hmm.
Look, Green Bay ran for... Like, the defense, Kansas City's defense is better. That front line of the Niners not looking good. 136 yards for Green Bay, 182 for Detroit. And you got Pacheco.
But Kansas City might just forget to run the ball like Baltimore did. It has nothing to do with the defense they were facing.
Are the Chiefs the new Patriots? That's next on FS1, the Fox Sports Channel, on SiriusXM.
We don't do hypotheticals.
I got another comparison for you.
Okay.
Isaiah Pacheco, a thin Marshawn Lynch.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to an electric show. Great coach, legendary quarterback, dominant tight end, my fandom. Chiefs are the new Patriots with all the good and the bad that comes with it, according to Corey Woodruff of USA Today writing. Like Brady and the Patriots did for all those years, Mahomes and the Chiefs will be the biggest obstacles for your favorite football team finally getting over the hump to bring a Lombardi back to your home stadium. While it won't happen every year, it'll always stand the chance of happening. Nick, your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly right. And I'm not being sarcastic here. I empathize and I get the frustration for the other AFC teams. Because it was a dynasty handoff with no gap year between it in the same conference. The Patriots from 11 to 18 in that eight-year stretch made the AFC title game every year, made five Super Bowls. The Chiefs from 18 to now, because they played each other in that AFC title game, have made the AFC title game every year, and in the 5 years since have made four of the five Super Bowls. So which means from 2011 to 2013, the AFC Super Bowls have been five for Tom, four as appearances. Five for Tom, four for Patrick, two for Peyton as a Bronco, and then Joe Flacco got a weird one, and Joe Burrow got a weird one. So everyone else has to feel like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Like, and so that part of it. Now, what I will say is this, and Brew, you might agree. Coach is going to reflexively disagree, but I think you'll have to agree. If the Chiefs win Sunday, they top the Patriots' best five-year stretch. And it's the best five-year stretch in NFL history.
Drive.
If we can show it to you, what it would be. This is if they win Sunday. It's essentially identical with, I mean, as close as you can get, but one more regular season win. They both will have been to the conference title game every year. They both will have lost Super Bowl. They both will have won three. It's at least a tie, if you will. And there's nothing else comes close because the Cowboys in the 90s didn't get to a fourth. The Steelers in the 70s, they needed 6 years. So I'm talking about a five-year stretch. So that's where we're at. The Chiefs started off at the apex of the Patriots dynasty.
I agree with everything you said. However, the article was saying not just AFC teams not liking the Chiefs, but fans, like all of the NFL world outside of Kansas City, not liking them as the evil empire. And that's where I'll counter. I think they could actually be like the anti-Patriots because, I mean, just starting off with the quarterbacks, and obviously Brady's light, but Mahomes has been more of a driving force in this dynasty than Brady was at the beginning. It was Brady and Belichick, you know, because Brady, they turned it around with Brady. But he wasn't doing what Mahomes, he wasn't leading them like Mahomes has led the Chiefs. Secondly, there's no cheating scandal. Like, a lot of the reason people disliked the Patriots was because of the cheating scandal. I think a lot of people, that was the case.
Then added to it. Because even if you didn't want to care about the first
but
one,
that was
then there was
much
a second
later.
One. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So I think there was that. I think Kansas City is more likable. Mahomes and Andy Reid is much more likable than Belichick. He's in all these commercials.
What,
and he's funny.
Eats hamburgers?
No, but he's good. He's funny in the commercials. And so
he's certainly more likable.
Because what I think is this,
whole
Coach.
Motif was he didn't care about being liked.
Right.
I like that.
Okay.
But here's the – look. You, just because you dominate and you become a dynasty, like the article was painted like it's going to be boring. Like, who's going to beat the Chiefs? The Jordan Bulls dominated unlike anything we've seen in the NBA since and before until since Bill Russell. And they were beloved because Jordan's style of play was exciting.
That's right.
That's where we talked earlier. Yes, it's nice if they keep winning with the defense, but you got Patrick Mahomes. If they let him cook and be as exciting as he's been earlier in his career, then I think a lot of people will just love them and they'll become America's team for a stretch.
Well, look, I agree that they are more likable. They have more likable factors to them, except when you look at the reaction to the Ravens AFC Championship game, everybody was looking for Lamar Jackson to finally end the Chiefs' reign. And as likable as they are, they're kind of saturated. I mean, every single commercial, every single day is something Chiefs-related, and it gets old. And then there's the post-games like, oh, you thought we weren't going to be here, and we're here.
Stop making them underdogs.
Well, I'm just
stop
saying that,
doubting them.
So now you're taunting. So there's that element.
No, they're
to
talking
it.
To you directly.
And I understand. I understand that Nick wants to say that they were equal. I would argue that the quarterbacks that were faced during that time period were a lot more challenging than the quarterbacks that are being faced right now. I mean,
really?
You got
Josh Allen,
Nick Foles in a Super Bowl.
This is the second batch of Super Bowl wins?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the first batch.
The first batch, Jake Delhomme in a Super Bowl?
I'm just saying that.
Don McNabb throwing up on himself? What are we talking about?
Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger. There were a lot of elite guys every year.
You didn't see the last block, but Mahomes is playing Drew Brees.
I did see that.
Did you see that?
No.
Was I putting Birdie in all of
Drew Brees light right now. I would argue that the level of quarterback play at that time is arguably higher than what
go ahead and
you
face.
Okay, well,
you think this is the best?
No, some think this is the best quarterback ever.
Hold on.
You guys weren't beating Peyton Manning. You guys lost.
We were.
That's not what I'm. Yes, and you missed the playoffs in the interim. We're not even talking about
those first three Super Bowls.
Yeah, we're not.
Oh, you're talking about the second.
You're not. Yes, I am. Because in the first three, you guys missed the playoffs after the first one.
Forget which batch of three.
Yeah. Well, that's not as good.
Okay, there's one. But two more.
Yeah, that's.
I know we're sitting on two. It's just like let's all.
Right. It was under the hypothesis of them winning Sunday.
I don't do hypotheticals.
I'm going to call.
I'm facts guy. I got to be facts too. I can't just be away from the pop.
This side of the table is facts, baby.
Yeah.
In any event,
yeah.
Tom Brady, let's hear what he had to say. He joined Colin this afternoon. Take a listen.
I think Patrick, obviously, I think he's a tremendous player. He's a great leader. I think that's one part. Everyone would look at, a pass that's a no-look pass. I look at how do his teammates care about him? Do they respond to him? And that happens week in and week out with him. So that's why I think they're always the team to beat.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. I think that this year's team in particular, none of it can happen without Patrick. And because the receiving core was in such disarray, you know, certainly early in the year, I think if you just put a good quarterback on the Chiefs, the offense grinds to a halt. I think took a great player.
Absolutely.
With all that said, the reason this Chiefs team was able to survive the growing pains is what they were able to do defensively, which is what makes it so unique. So Brady, throughout his run, 9 times had a top 5 scoring defense. This is Mahomes' first one. And here's another place I want your take on it, Coach, where I see a similarity between the Chiefs and the Patriots dynasty. Patriots had a defensive-minded head coach who got to go mind meld with a great offensive coordinator who he didn't really have to worry about losing for a long stretch of time because after Josh flamed out with the Broncos, it was going to be a decade till he got another head coaching opportunity. So he didn't, while everyone else was dealing with brain drain and things like that, and while he had to lose you guys, defensive coordinators, a lot, because he's defensive side of the ball, when you leave, he can pick up some of the slack there until the next guy's kind of ready for it. Andy gets Steve Spagnuolo a year into Mahomes as the starter. Spagnuolo did not work out as a head coach. No one talks about interviewing for jobs. None of it. So Andy, while he can lose Bieniemy and pick up some of the slack over the course of the year, he has Steve Spagnuolo there to basically the whole time to be able to run that and not have to worry about losing it, which I think is a huge element to this year's team, and it's similar to what the Patriots had with Josh.
Yeah, definitely having the continuity with Andy and the long relationship with Spagnuolo. A lot of people wouldn't have stayed with Spagnuolo the way that Andy did, and now that he's viewed differently than he was during the early days of the Chiefs, Ryan. But it still comes back to the fact that with Patrick, he is such a force multiplier.
There we go.
He's gone through the first contract. He's paid all that money. They've had to not spend as much money on offensive players. And now there's growing pains, but he's still finding a way to make it work. And everybody on that sideline knows that as long as we're in the game, as you know, and late, Patrick's probably going to pull it out. Mm-hmm. And that confidence, that extreme confidence, it's huge. It's huge.
Do you want to go, Brewer? I had a question.
No, go ahead.
Do you think there's a element of, when you were with Tom, that there's a tiger, what we call the tiger effect, where you always hear, like, guys at the Masters or whatever would hear a big roar, and even though they're, like, Tiger was, you know, holes ahead of them or holes behind them, they would have to start changing their game because they knew Tiger was coming. Do you think when guys see Mahomes on the sideline, like, we're going to change the way we play?
Yeah, you have to be worried about how many points he could potentially put up at any point. And so typically, and this year's been a little bit different, but you'll take chances that you wouldn't normally take because he can be so explosive at any point. And you think, okay, maybe we've got to go for it on fourth down. Maybe we've got to take fake punts or do things that we wouldn't traditionally do because he's so good and we don't want to give him the ball.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I think Lamar did, and Josh Allen.
Yeah, yes, it looked like their 100%. Whole team.
Josh definitely Allen, the Ravens. Yes.
Josh Allen, three plays into the game, was throwing a lateral.
I thought that was a good play, though.
The illegal lateral.
It wasn't illegal. 19. Was there a flag? I didn't see a flag.
There weren't any flags.
Offense coordinator Ben Johnson staying in Detroit. Took interviews with the Seahawks and Commanders, but opted to come back with the Lions to make another run at the Super Bowl.
That is great news.
It will not be easy, though, according to Dan Campbell. Take a listen, bro.
Sometimes you can only say so much, you got to live it, unfortunately. You got to get your heart ripped out, which we did. And it's a lesson learned. And look, I told those guys, this may have been our only shot. Do I think that? No. Do I believe that? No. However, I know how hard it is to get here. I'm well aware. And it's going to be twice as hard to get back to this point next year than it was this year. That's the reality.
Okay, so he said that before the Ben Johnson news hit. Brew, your reaction.
One, Coach, I don't get why you would say that to your team after the game, especially one in which maybe some of the players are looking at you like, dude, you just blew, you know, these calls and things like that. I get it before the game. That's a great motivation. Like, hey, this might be our only time getting here. Let's make the most of it. But after the game, I don't get that. That said, I think Detroit's going to be right there in the mix next year. Like, I like them as much. Like, San Francisco, win or lose this Super Bowl, it's going to be hard to get back. We know how hard it is to get back to the Super Bowl. And if they lose, the Super Bowl hangover. You know, so I think you got the Rams will be good. Detroit, Dallas, and Philly will be good. And the Niners. But Detroit, I think, is going to be right there. And Green Bay. I think Green Bay is going to be a very good contender. But, yeah, Detroit's got a shot next year, especially with Johnson coming back.
I understand why he said it, because there is this perception that you get to start where you left off, and especially with a young team and a team that's not used to being successful, you think, okay, well, we went to the NFC Championship game, where, you know, that's where we're going to start. And that's not true at all. You have to start over, and all the work that you put in last year, you've got to do better than you did the year before, because everybody prepares for you differently and people look at you differently. So it is a much harder road. So I appreciate
it. So off-season motivation.
Well, it's just honesty. There's a lot of times where teams are successful, but it's a one-off. And to have that honest conversation, I think that's a good thing. In terms of their ability to get back, the good news for them is they've got a lot of salary cap space. They've got a very young team. They've been extremely good at drafting. So those three things are positive. I'd say the emergence of Jordan Love, that could cause some problems. The Bears were pretty good at the end of the season. They've got a ton of draft capital. That'll be another challenge that they have to overcome. They get to keep the coordinator, which is nice. You know, and it's one of those things for the coordinator, too, where you've got this opportunity to be a head coach. Maybe it'll happen again next year. Maybe it won't. So, you know, he made the decision he made. Hopefully it pays off for
Caleb
him and the Lions.
I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, I appreciate the self-awareness here from Dan Campbell, because everybody thinks you're always going to be there. Phillip Rivers got to an AFC title game early.
And is this going to be a KC thing?
No, it's not. No, but honestly.
Everything's going to be there.
No.
Only Kansas City is.
No. I mean, if we look at the last 20 years, the only people who it was regular for were Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Patrick Mahomes, as far as you're at least in the Final Four. Everyone else, like Russ, it happened twice, back to back. He's never been back. You know what I mean? Matt Ryan got to the Final Four one time. Cam Newton, one time. The Stafford's been there one. Like, what if the Rams? We always talk about the Tart play, right? Jaworski Tart, he dropped it.
Right.
If they dropped it, the Rams, we would have thought right then and there, oh, they're going to be right there. They haven't been that close to a conference title game again since then. It is incredibly hard. And this is where you guys, Coach said it, and I will kind of, or Coach at least opened the door for me. I believe it is very likely that over the next few years, the Lions have the third best quarterback in their own division. Maybe not next season, but I think Caleb will, in short order, be better than Jared Goff. Jordan Love might be better than Jared Goff next year.
I don't trust the Bears at all.
Okay, maybe, listen, that might be true. I think the new GM, not new, but Ryan Poles, I think he's done a good job since he got there. I think the trade he executed.
Justin Fields.
But I don't know how good Justin Fields is, but that's fine.
I don't know either because of the Bears.
Yeah, I that's fair. So no, you can we can have difference of opinion there, but I think it is very on the board that they have the third best quarterback in their own division.
That's like fair.
And so it's just hard. It's harder than people think. It
Absolutely.
Is the truly, truly legendary guys are the only guys who are there regularly.
Yep.
And so I'm not saying the Lions can't. I agree with Brew, but it's are they ever going to be up tough. 17 in the conference sure. championship game again with this core? Almost assuredly.
Shots at Kirk Cousins?
I don't even know where he's going to play next year. He might play for the Niners. Replace Drew Brees.
Pre-game warm-ups, Justin Tucker surrounded by Chiefs until Travis not so politely moves his stuff. Here's Justin Tucker's take on the whole situation.
That's just kind of the way we've always done it and the way kickers around the league have always done it. You know, and I saw Patrick there trying to warm up and get some drop back. So he asked me while I was on the ground stretching, like, if I could move my helmet. So I happily got up and I moved my helmet out of the way. At least I thought it was enough out of the way. And then Travis comes over and he just kicks my stuff and he throws my helmet. And I just thought it was all just some gamesmanship, you know, all in good fun. But they seem to be taking it a little bit more seriously.
Put it on the epitaph of the game. I mean, that is, and by the way, this is credit. Great podcast, or Amateur Hour Kansas City, a Chiefs podcast. Nick Reese said this. Quote, I thought it was gamesmanship, all in good fun. They seem to be taking it more seriously. Yeah, that's how the 3.5 hours looked. That the Ravens thought it was all in good fun. Hey guys, you see this cool dance we designed to mock your wives and girlfriends? Hey guys, you see the extra jawing we're doing after the huddle,
yeah,
after the play?
A little taunting.
While the Chiefs, from the moment they got there, were angry. I don't really know who they were angry at. I know that you guys remember the Patrick puts his pants on one leg at a time quote from Roquan Smith?
Roquan.
And I was talking about, should we put it on the board? And you guys were like, that's ridiculous. And then in the locker room, they're showing an IG live of Roquan Smith talking. They're like, oh, you talked all that trash. Like, the Chiefs walked in there angry. And the Ravens, I don't think, were quite ready for the moment.
I don't know. I don't know if bullying the kicker is necessarily the way to show that you're like...
Everybody gets it.
Yeah, it's like he's literally done the same thing. I 100% believe that that's been his routine for 12 years. Well. And then...
On the goal line, right where the quarterback's dropping back?
I promise you, kickers are as idiosyncratic.
Justin Tucker's a little different. He's kind of a tough kicker.
No, he's not a tough
kicker. No, he is. He's like a Hall of Fame kicker. He's like, this is my area.
He's mentally
tough. Get out of here.
But it's like you're bullying the insurance salesman at a bar.
No.
Travis Kelce comes over like the bouncer and throws the guy out of the bar.
Yeah.
He's the kicker who's just worn up and doing the same thing for the last 12 years.
Well, then why don't you do it somewhere else?
Yeah.
Do it somewhere else.
Real quick.
So it's like, all right. You know, we're going to beat you up.
I got to be honest. I had no problem with what Kelce did. And I think, like, he didn't look back at Tucker, like, or flex when he threw his stuff. I think Kelce's attitude was, like, if you look at this, I looked at this and was like, man, that helmet and those balls are close to my heart.
And
you don't want him turning an ankle or something on that.
I think he's one of the world's greatest athletes.
No.
You think he's going to accidentally turn?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want a football, two footballs and a helmet that close
and
to a guy's leg.
Get out of here.
And the photographer.
I think Kelce's attitude was, dude, he asked you to move it. And now Kelce didn't start anything. He didn't look back. Like, he just... He asked you to move it. Get the stuff out of here.
But it was also after, I don't know if people realize the sequence was Mahomes moves the tee.
Yeah.
And then Tucker looks at him, smiles, and sets it right back up where Mahomes moved from. So then Mahomes kicks it. And then Tucker keeps doing what he's doing. And
because
Kelce
I'm
walks
sure
over
Tucker
there.
Thought, this can't be serious.
But of course it's serious.
He's going to move out of the way.
Wait a second, coach. One of your best stories is that Bill Belichick took as motivation the Philadelphia City Planning Department for a parade.
Yep.
That it was the city of Philadelphia was like, hey guys, we're going to go down Broad Street. That you are finding any potential slight. You're telling me that that is more related to football than Justin Tucker. He has, let me do the math, 5,200 square yards of area he could operate in. And he goes to the one 2x2 yard area where Patrick Mahomes is dropping back.
Maybe Kelce bullied him so he'd go tell his tough friends and then they'd get all the personal problems.
Well,
because they were so mad that they bullied the kicker.
I also just love, I thought it was an insightful look into Kelce and Mahomes' relationship. It's like, it's almost like a hockey goalie. It's like, hey, you're the most important person. I'll take care of this stuff for you. I just loved it. Yeah. It's like, we are partners here.
You're not
taking on
the biker gang. You're taking on the librarian.
He was pancaking guys in the game, too, but he's locked in.
Justin Tucker was without, and here's the other part of it. The Chiefs, I believe, would have beaten the Bills even if Bass made that kick.
Yeah.
Because they would have gotten the ball, whatever. But they did win that game. The end of that game was that kicker missing a kick. That is also in a game that ended up being low scoring, as some smart people predicted, a field goal defense game. They were messing with Tucker. They didn't want him to have his regular warm-ups. And what I'm saying is that is smart, and Justin Tucker was trying to mess with them.
Just love it.
Yeah.
Just love it.
Get out of here, Tucker. And he's also, I mean, Butker's coming for his corner anyway. Goat kicker. You might have a lot of goats on this team. Tight end, quarterback, coach, kicker. Who knows, man?
Chris Jones playing.
Chris Jones. Yeah. I mean, who knows?
Live from New York. It's a show that is preparing to ascend Mahomes Mountain. It's the second hour of First Things First today. The one quote that will make you think, hold on, did the Chiefs just break the Ravens' spirit? Mm. Meanwhile, LeBron and the Lakers lose again to Dylan Brooks and Shingun. Are changes coming to L.A.? But right now, we're headed to the mountain. Well, it's Tuesday at 4 o'clock, and after months of climbing, we've seen friends and foes alike succumb to the attitude and altitude, and now only two quarterbacks have survived. Oh, it's chilly. But the mountain always has a surprise in store. Whether an icy crevasse or an even colder take, come with me as we finally near the peak of Mahomes. I did it wrong again. Mahomes Mountain.
Well done, Kevin.
Well, not really.
I mean,
I made a mistake in it.
Yeah, we're pressed for time, couldn't do a second take, didn't want to do it.
The Gen Z loves it real.
Oh, okay, no problem. Is that what you learned trying to chase down Mr. Beast on you? Yeah. All right, so we have kind of dueling mountains here. Of course, for the postseason, there are only two quarterbacks left. And to no one's surprise, Patrick Mahomes remains atop the mountain. To a lot of people's surprise, Brock Purdy continues to ascend, reveal the mountain. What? What is so funny?
Who is vacant? Who is that?
There's any time.
Is that the silhouette of who Purdy vanquished?
No, it's just it's not left to right, Brew.
I got a source on your committee, Nick.
There is not a committee.
Purdy. Tomorrow.
There is not a committee.
All right, that's all right.
It's just because
you know what?
At the top.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Niners have a board.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm just saying.
So that is the final playoff edition of Mahomes. Now, there's not a lot of intrigue. There's not a lot of debate. Even people who would say Brock Purdy might one day be Drew Brees, but not Hall of Famer, not 15 all time, but Drew Brees, would not argue that Brock Purdy is better than Patrick Mahomes. So now we look to the all-time mountain, the 10 greatest quarterbacks of all time, and there is one person yet for Patrick Mahomes to chase down. Our colleague and friend who was just on with Colin Cowherd 2.5 hours ago, the unquestionable GOAT right now, Tom Brady.
True.
So much like a marathon, you can't win it 5 miles in, 6 miles in, but the question is, what pace are you on? So let's look at it. We all know the numbers for Patrick are going to far outstrip early Brady. That's not going to sway anyone, but it should be noted how dramatic those numbers truly are. 85 yards per game more, even a better win percentage for the quarterback wins group, far better touchdown interception ratio, and a passer rating that's up 15 points. But what about in the postseason, which is what Brady was known for? Again, through 6 years in the postseason, it is more of the same. While the record is closer, it is still in Mahomes' favor. From completion percentage, far better. Again, all the statistics will really favor Patrick Mahomes. But then there is what made Brady Brady. It is the rings and the volume of team accomplishments that he literally quarterbacked. So this is what is so intriguing. As we sit here today, Patrick Mahomes is ahead of the pace.
Pretty good.
Right. In everything. Right. He goes to a Super Bowl, or he wins a Super Bowl more often, barely. Goes to a Super Bowl more often by a substantial margin, and of course has never not been to a conference championship game. But what if, Brew, Mahomes wins in 2 weeks. What would that pace then look like? Now we're talking about way ahead of the pace. He would then all of a sudden have won 50% of his seasons. Brady's numbers, of course, stay the same, while Mahomes' Super Bowl win is what jumps up to where he wins the Super Bowl in half of their seasons. To be fair, for both of these guys, we are not counting their rookie seasons when they did not play. So for both these guys, it's from year two onward. And then again, if they were to win, Brew, how would Mahomes' first 6 years stack up with Tom's first 13 years? So the statistics, we know what they are. And amazingly, Mahomes will already have matched almost game for game what Tom did the first 13 years of his career. He also has already matched him for MVPs for the first 13 years of his career, as Tom won his third in 2017, year 17 for him. So with all that said, the question I posit to you and to the group is, right now, if they win a week from Sunday, does Mahomes become a favorite to be considered the greatest quarterback of all time?
Does he become the betting favorite right,
more likely than not that he is considered the greatest quarterback ever?
I think yes. Now, right now, I would have Montana 2, or I have Montana 2. I've got Mahomes 3, Manning 4.
And the Mountain obviously doesn't have a discernment because it's not left to right Mahomes and Montana. They're just on the same level.
If Mahomes wins this Super Bowl, I move him ahead of Montana. Now, Montana will have 4. Mahomes will have 3. But as you said, individually, he's been more of a phenom than Montana was. All right. Brady, you're right. I mean, he's way ahead of Brady's pace. There's no question. Nobody would argue Brady individually was better than Mahomes early in their career, their first Super Bowl runs. Brady didn't even win his first MVP until 2007. So that's a few years after their first little dynasty.
Yep.
And he was first team All-Pro 2007. That was the first time after the first dynasty. So I think Mahomes, here's a little wrinkle. No team has ever won 3 straight. So if Mahomes wins a three-peat, now I know that's saying a lot, but if they win it this year and then they win it next year and they have the first three-peat in NFL history, I think a lot of people, I don't know if it's a majority, but I think a good number of people will say at 4, just because he had the first three-peat and how dominant he's been individually, they would say he's old. I don't think I would go there. But I think 5, I've always said 5 is what he needs. And if you got 5 with a three-peat, or even if there's no three-peat, if you have 5 in 10 years. Because Brady, like you said, his first, 13 years, he only had 3. Yeah. If you have 5 in 10 years, then I think almost everyone would start to say at that point he is
and
the
coach
goal.
Is quick.
And coach, I got to say one last thing. Yeah. I cannot see Patrick Mahomes having a 10-year stretch while he's still in his prime without winning a Super Bowl. I just can't see it at this point.
I was just going to say, when Bruce pointed about if he were to three-peat and get to 4, a lot of smart people believe that once you have 4 championships, you're in any GOAT conversation, that it's not about counting rings. That's cross sport.
Football,
a lot of people believe that.
Not
go ahead.
Basketball.
No,
go ahead.
So just to respond to one point that you made, Brew, about the MVPs and how long it took him, I think he suffered from what Brock Purdy's going through, because he was a 6th-round draft pick versus
That's
Mahomes,
fair.
Who was a 1st-round draft pick. People had a hard time giving him the credit that he deserved. But how many Super Bowls did Tom win total?
Was 7.
It was 7 Super Bowls. So I don't know if Mahomes is going to have the longevity that Tom had. And I think that's the first issue for Patrick Mahomes, because a big part of his game is his ability to run. And when you look at the difference between him and Tom, okay, so Tom, during the course of his career, he rushed for 807 times in 23 years for a 1.2-yard average. That wasn't important to him.
Right.
Okay, so as he got older, it didn't become a factor in his success. Where with Mahomes, we all know his mobility and his ability to generate plays outside the pocket is key to his success. So I think that's going to be the first issue that'll prevent him from overcoming Tom. Okay, so that's and here's the second thing. Tom won faster. Okay, Tom won faster. And as much as you want to jerry-rig the first 7 seasons, let's look at. Okay, so here's the first 4 seasons, right? So in his first 4 seasons, how many Super Bowls did he win, Tom?
Tom in his first four? Three.
Three Super Bowls. How many did Patrick win?
Two.
Okay, so he won quicker, right?
Patrick's first four, he only won one. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And how many Tom win?
What? He won three.
And yeah. Patrick won one. Okay, yes. So he won quicker. So we can stretch it out over 7 years to help the narrative. But the reality is he won three in his first 4 years, and Patrick won one. So that's part of it. Now let's look at him head-to-head. Okay, let's look at him head-to-head. So how can we compare, how can we better compare than in big moments how they played head-to-head? So the conference championship, Tom won. The Super Bowl, Tom won. So for you to say that he's better, he beat him head-to-head, okay. He won quicker, and odds are he's going to Patrick will never be able to sustain the success.
So let's talk about this last thing. So the one quicker to me is totally irrelevant. Because
of course it doesn't fit your narrative.
No. Because, let me ask. So, Coach, would you be swayed if Patrick wins this year and in 2 years? If he gets to four, 8 years faster than Tom did, will that sway you at all?
I think when he gets to seven, we'll have a real conversation.
Right. So you
then we'll start talking about him being the greatest.
So to my point,
will he win with another team too?
Hold on. To my point, well, I doubt the Chiefs are going to get rid of him. But to my point, Coach, you're not worried about the speed if Patrick does it faster. Because if you're right, Tom got to three faster, but if Patrick gets to four faster, you won't care about that anymore. So let's talk about head-to-head.
He has 3-1 in his first 4 years.
I understand. And if I'm asking you, if Mahomes gets to 4-3 in his first 8, will that matter? I think it won't. But the head-to-head matters to a lot of people.
That's going
to
be
a tough thing. So that, to me, is worth discussing.
Because Brady was in his 40s as well. That's
right. So that, to me, is
at the end of his career.
But I don't.
Right. Still better.
Okay. So hold on. I think most people would expect. Do we still think Tom Brady, with the second to last year in the Patriots, was in his prime? I do. He had won league MVP in 2017. He won league MVP in 2017. He beat Mahomes in 2018.
Here's what I would say to that, Nick. I did think at that point in his career, Brady was starting to have trouble carrying the average receiver.
Okay, he won league MVP the year before. No, he was. His longevity is not questioned. No. But the numbers Coach put up about the head-to-head matchups are wildly misleading. So the Super Bowl, because I'll show you. Here's the AFC title game. No, don't. That's the two games put together. Show us the AFC title game that Tom Brady won, if we could. If anybody watched that game and felt like Tom Brady outplayed Patrick Mahomes, they're lying to you. Now, I give him credit, and he won. They won the coin toss. The Chiefs didn't ask for the rules to be changed like Buffalo did. He never got the ball. And the only reason that's two interceptions and not three, of course, is the D Ford offsides. And so the point I'm making is people look at the 2-0 as dispositive. I don't think anyone can intellectually be honest and say D Ford lining up on or offside should have a tangible impact on the GOAT debate. But if he doesn't, they're 1-1.
That's the only play that happened in the whole game.
No,
that's going to be forgotten.
That's fine.
Works.
And so that if we want to argue that, so that then leads me to the question, is it dead? Because if it is, we have a very different type of Tom Brady discussion, which is he's lost in the playoffs. He has a losing record to Peyton. Does anyone care? He's 0-2 to Eli. Does anyone care? I'm just curious. If 2-0.
Well, I think they would care if those guys also had more Super Bowls.
Five Super Bowls.
If they'd won faster than Tom. So Tom won head to head. He won faster. He's won more. But yet
the one faster part to me is it is not to me relevant that Mahomes won MVPs faster. I'm not worried about Tom winning the Super Bowls faster. We're talking about the width and breadth of their career. But do you think it is impossible? Do you think it's impossible? Because he's 0-2.
To pass?
Yeah, because he's 0-2. Because Brady retired. Second.
But I think the two hardest things for him to overcome, I mean, getting to seven is obviously the key. But I think the head-to-head, which is something Brady supporters are going to be able to stick on. And then also, Mahomes went to a team that was good already, had 11 wins the year before. Brady went to a team when you nitpick, when you get into these discussions.
Can I say something?
The Patriots weren't good.
There's a five Super Bowl gap. We don't need to get down with our microscope.
I'm saying when Mahomes gets to five or maybe catches, I think he's got a chance.
When he gets to five, he'll still be a full Hall of Fame career behind.
At five?
It will be a discussion.
He still
I'll
has
be sitting
to get
here
to three.
And be like, you know what? He's still two Super Bowls behind. It's how many he has now. If he gets to five, that'll be the gap.
I know it's like
I think
so. I'm a simpleton up here.
This is why Wild has always said Bill Russell is the greatest basketball player ever.
Did they play in the same era?
What?
Did Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady play in the same era?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I thought you were saying Bill Russell. Yeah, of course.
Tom beat him head-to-head.
Yeah. Okay. So it's over. Moment. So then it doesn't.
If Bill Russell and Michael Jordan were playing in the same era, we would have an interesting conversation. You know, the Ravens were the number one seed. They had the MVP, all-time great defense, best point differential in the league, and they blew out the 49ers, who are now in the Super Bowl. This is not lost on Marlon Humphrey, who tweeted, dang, fam, it just hit me. This one really was our year. Nick?
Yeah.
Do you feel for the guy?
I'd rather hear how Brew thinks. This was his team. He had the shoes. He had the tie. He had the sunglasses. He had the robe. He had the belief.
I had the team.
He had everything.
This was their year, especially with the Chiefs being down in the regular season. Here's the thing that upsets me the most about it, Coach. They lost not playing their game. If Steph Curry loses, lose shooting threes. Don't lose driving to the basket every day. If LeBron loses, lose going to the hole. Don't lose shooting a bunch of three-pointers. And they, for whatever reason, didn't run the football. Every game this season, they ran for over 100 or 100 yards or more. All right, except versus the Chiefs. Yeah. And it wasn't because the Chiefs were shutting them down. They averaged over 5 yards a run. Yeah. All right, so I'm not saying the Chiefs didn't have some good stops that maybe discouraged them, but they also had some big runs, too. Lamar had one. Gus Edwards had one. So that is number one, the horrible game plan. All right, horrible game plan.
Putting the ball
in
the MVP's hands?
Yeah, as a pocket passer. I don't think their game plan was terrible.
They fired Greg Roman to get away from that.
Yeah, right. But you got to understand this guy has a special ability. And so first there was a horrible game plan. Second was the self-inflicted wounds with the roughing the passer, unnecessary roughness. Zay Flowers with the taunting. And then you get the home field. And as badly as they played, and I don't want to, again, take anything from the Chiefs, but as poorly as the Ravens played, they had chances.
Yeah.
They had chances late in this game that they blew. So this is going to haunt them. You know it was better than anybody. It's going to haunt them for the rest of their careers.
Yeah, it was really hard to watch it and to watch it unfold the way it did. And when we beat the Rams in the Super Bowl as 14-point underdogs, the things we were scared to death of is them running the ball. Like, we were going to play split safety defense. We were going to jam the receivers. But we knew we had a huge weakness if they ran the ball. But they wouldn't run the ball. And so the fact that they played into exactly what we wanted them to do is what allowed us to win the Super Bowl. And that felt like the same way here is they wanted this to become a passing game by the Ravens. They wanted them to go away from their strength. And the fact that Baltimore was willing to play into that narrative and to accommodate them, that's the difference in the game. And they're going to look back at it. Kansas City has a down year. They're the number one seed. Now they're going back to a division where Joe Burrow is going to be healthy again. Mm-hmm. He was down this year. Who knows what happens with Deshaun Watson. The Steelers ideally will get their quarterback situation figured out. And to have everything lined up, number one scoring defense, number one in sacks, number one in takeaways, second in the red zone, so many good things going for you, and you beat up the team that you defeated in the Super Bowl. It's going to be tough for all those guys to watch this game moving forward.
Here's a question. I'll freestyle a question. This is what I had written down. Do you feel like we've kept the same energy for the Ravens and the Bills? That when the Bills lost to the Chiefs, they were basically, you've said they were broken. The overtime game broke them, and they were haunted by the Chiefs, and they were like, you know what? We have to build our team to chase the Chiefs and beat the Chiefs, and they can't beat the Chiefs. Do you feel like the same thing happened to the Ravens?
The Bills are in a different spot because the Bills have lost to the Chiefs 3 out of 4 right. years in the playoffs. This is the first time the Chiefs and the Ravens have played in the playoffs. I think the question for the Bills is, do they think they are AFC varsity when they're really the best of the JV?
Yeah.
If the last 4 years in the playoffs they have lost either Mahomes or Burrow 4 years in a row, that does make you question who you are. The problem for the Ravens is this. The problem for the Ravens is, are they regular season varsity and playoff freshman team?
Mm.
And that is the big concern about the Ravens whether it's a weird spot where it's like their big mistake was they put the game in Lamar's hands. This season was about Lamar.
They put the game in Lamar's hands as a passer.
Right. He rarely threw 37 times.
Very inconsistent with the formula they had for success throughout the season.
Okay, but hold on. The formula they had success throughout the season was not Lamar running the ball at the volume that he had previously in his career. It was the whole idea.
He ran the ball at the same level as he did.
But same style. It was the whole idea was get away from the Greg Roman thing and have it be more of a drop-back-based offense, right? That was the whole idea.
But they led the league in rushes.
That was the theory.
In rush attempts. Yeah, and
also a point differential, so they're just handing the ball.
I don't think the Ravens forgot to run the ball. I think the Chiefs defense, I think the Chiefs defense dared them to throw it and they took the dare. I think the Chiefs defense said, we're going to give you looks that demand you throw if you trust your quarterback. Lucky for you, your quarterback's league MVP. And lucky for you, you spent all this money on receivers, so you're going to throw the ball. And it's exactly what the Chiefs wanted.
Just in general, I don't buy the simple idea like, running.
Yeah.
Yo, we're the Ravens.
The Chiefs forced them out of it.
Give them numbers, and if you go with
it. They average 5 yards a carry.
It's the greatest segment in all of sports. It's Nick's Tears. What exactly is it? Any hints?
Super Bowl edition.
Ooh.
And it's the last edition of the year.
Really?
Of this season.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Medals time. Wemby versus the Wizards, and he just caught this one. Unfortunately, lost to the Wizards.
Brew doesn't
not
care.
His fault. I don't care.
Bronze medal.
Rookie, don't care.
The Joker, 25-16-12. And you know what I thought was cool? Even though they were playing Denver in Denver, Giannis decided to play.
That's nice.
I was like, you know what? That's a good. You know
Dane
what?
Barely did.
Good wow. job. Silver medal.
Shots. Oh, he made it.
They were studying. He's 31-12-7. Pushing.
He can play.
Gold medal. My large adult Slovenian son, who's the league MVP, 45-9-15. Really? Well, Embiid's not going to be eligible. Joker's great, but doesn't seem that interested.
It's what are they, six?
45-9-15. I think they're going to move up. They need to move up for him to be the MVP, okay. But he's where my money would be. There's a medal stand
Jason
from last
Kidd?
Night in the association.
We'll do it tomorrow.
Jason Kidd? Yeah, he can't win MVPs.
No, but Luka is on Kobe and Jordan's level. Lakers got rolled by the Rockets last night. Dylan, the villain, pestered LeBron all night and clobbered him here for a flagrant one. LeBron wanted it to be a flagrant two. It wasn't. LeBron was then asked about Dylan's antics after the game. Take a listen.
We were here earlier this year. We asked you about Brooks.
Next question.
Yeah. I mean, this is your guy's fault.
What I do?
You encourage this. You said you like him. You said you're rooting for him. Last year, you ended up like doing a weird pity party, like, oh, he didn't want to be this guy. And
he said that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And so
he didn't want to be the villain. But
yeah. And so I mean, it's just he's a mediocre, dirty player.
He's playing great.
Great.
Look,
pretty good.
The Lakers. Who did LeBron get into it early in the season with at Houston? Ime Udoka.
Oh, Ime, okay.
They should have known that the Rockets were going to come out like that. And I would have liked to see one of LeBron's teammates. This is your guy. This is y'all chant. Go to him all the time.
Vando.
Come over and do something.
But Dylan already got Vando out of the game.
Yeah, Vando had already been kicked out. He's just a dirty player who gets
tomorrow, LeBron asking for a trade. Stuff.